All righty. Is Brian on the phone?
Should be.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Jules.
Okay, Randy, you stole my gavel. Jeez, it give the guy a little power and he just goes crazy. Temporary authority. Temporary for a few more months. All right, this is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're gathered at the State Capitol, 12th floor, for a special meeting of the commission. It's about 10:40 on Wednesday, July 27th, and I'll call this meeting to order. I do not have any opening comments. I don't know if my colleagues do. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Christman.
I don't really have opening comments, but I would ask.
I also don't have any opening comments, but I would like to add a scheduling item.
Okay.
When we're done. And then we also have a revision notice for a revision of one of BNI's permits. And I'm told it does not require commission action, but we just sign these. And so I'm wondering if Brian would want to authorize someone to sign on his behalf.
Sure. I have no opening comments either, and I would authorize John Hammer to sign all the appropriate paperwork for today's meeting.
Okay. Very good. Then we just have the one item, and that belongs to Commissioner Christman, so I'll turn the mics over to him.
Okay, I move the commission authorize staff to issue additional change orders to increase the amount of contract number AM-757-16 with BNC Concrete Pumping Incorporated by an amount up to $198,600 for drilling and grouting, and to increase the amount of contract number AM-758-16 with GeoServe Incorporated by an amount up to $6,275 for material testing in Public Service Commission, AML Division 2016, Wilton Phase 2 Construction Project, case number AM-16-25.
Second.
Okay, so that was a long notice. Now to explain it, on May 18th, the Commission entered into a contract in the amount of $1,238,475 with BNC Concrete Pumping Incorporated of Williston for the Williston Phase 2 AML project. This project is for rotary drilling and pressurized grouting of underground mine workings that are located beneath public roads near Wilton. We estimated that 20,000 feet of rotary drilling would be needed this year, that 3,500 feet of casing will be used when mine voids are found, and that 7,500 cubic yards of grout will be needed to fill the voids. In addition, we entered into a contract with GeoServe Incorporated of Bismarck for material testing and other services associated with the Wilton project. To date, work has been completed along the north ditch of State Highway 36, which is southeast of Wilton, and a township road that intersects with Highway 36. The grout pumped in one section of Highway 36 work exceeded our estimate by over 2,000 yards. In addition, drilling along Highway 36 in another area has revealed more void space than was anticipated. A substantial amount of grouting remains along that highway, number 36. And again, that's that one that is just south of Wilton, and you can go east and go to Regan and Wing and those towns. Using the commission's change order policy to date, AML staff have issued two change orders for additional drilling and casing at Wilton in the amount of $43,550. Also, in June of this year, sinkholes were discovered close to Highway 200 at the Fig and Scow Mine east of Underwood to warrant approximately 3,500 feet of drilling in that highway right-of-way. So again, although it's kind of close in nature, that's a separate project. And if you recall, much of the Fig and Scow Mine is going to be re-mined by Falkirk, but this is an area that that sticks out of that permit area and into that Highway 200 right-of-way. In addition to the change orders that were already issued, the AML division would like commission authorization to increase the contract amount by nearly $200,000 above the already executed change orders as follows: 1,300 cubic yards of grout, 3,500 feet of drilling, 1,000 feet of casing, and the mobilization up to Figginskow, which would total the $198,600 in the motion. An adjustment to the drilling and grouting contract will also require increases in the amount in the material testing contract with GeoServe for grout testing, which includes their lab testing and their field representative, totaling $6,275 that was also mentioned. We have more than enough federal funds in our current construction grant for additional work under these two contracts. BNC Concrete Pumping and GeoServe are willing to do the additional work under terms of their original contracts. With these increases and other AML work planned this fall, we still expect to carry over more than $1 million in construction funds for projects in 2017. So staff doesn't feel that this is undercutting our future plans, and that this is a good time to go ahead and move these projects along with these additional findings of voids.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
I have just one question, and I know we've talked about this before, but I'm curious, when you talk about discovering more sinkholes, like in conjunction with the Figginskow mine, how do we discover those? Is it just kind of by accident? There's no methodical way to go out and discover sinkholes, like from above ground with, I don't know why, but I'm thinking about those little metal detectors that everyone went around the ground with.
That would be nice if we had something like
Is there
that.
Something like that for sinkholes?
No,
Commissioner, I'll turn it over to Joan to answer that, because she can answer it much better than I can.
Good.
We are usually notified by the landowner when they happen across the hole that's already at the surface.
Okay.
And that's what happened in this case. Falkirk notified us that they had discovered these sinkholes, and Jordan Burns and I went out and did a site investigation. And while the sinkholes themselves are off the highway right away, they are in close proximity to the highway right away, and it would be advisable to go ahead and do the drilling just to make sure that there is nothing that could impact the highway.
And I know that there's a sort of a database of these sinkholes. And how was that established? Was it based on where we know underground mines existed, or how was that originally established to start with these projects?
Well, when we're notified, we go out and do site investigations. Anytime a landowner calls us, we go out and we take a look and make the determination that it's coal mine related. And then at that point, with our iPads or iPhones, we have the ability to geo-reference them. So we mark them in a program there, and that's how that database got put together.
Yeah. Is that it was just on contact?
Well, there's a database for the work that we've done, but we do have old mine maps. Back when the program was first put in place, there was an inventory, you know, research was done to try to determine where all the mines were located. So we found a lot of those based on that inventory that was prepared over 30 years ago. But there are other mines that where there were no information, where there has been reports of sinkholes and sometimes there too. But most of these larger drilling and grouting projects are at mines where we do have some records. But the problem is that a lot of those old maps aren't complete. They were done for a period of time and sometimes not real accurate. Sure. So there's a number of factors. I guess we use that inventory, then plus once we get the calls, like Joan mentioned, from landowners of reports of sinkholes, then we have to determine if it's a pretty good possibility that was mine-related or something else.
But And if the on the inventory, is there, do we go out and do them even if there haven't been reports of sinkholes? Are we doing mines that haven't had sinkhole problems, or are we just, we've got the inventory and then there's been a problem, so we do it?
You know, I guess on that, as far as, you know, with the inventory that was done here a long time ago, that as more information, new information has become available, that's being used too. And sometimes just with being in some of these areas, with the staff being out there, they found other indications of old, the underground mines, you know, either mine entrances or sinkholes or those types of features. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the ones that are discovered that way are generally quite small versus something compared to this Wilton mine or up north of Beulah where there were known extensive mine workings, and the same thing like in the Dickinson area. Some of those areas, there are some pretty good records showing of what the extent of mine workings were.
And so even in some of those cases when there hasn't been any sinkhole problems, we know the mines were large. We've gone in and fixed them before, like before there have been problems?
Most of the places there have been sinkholes.
Okay.
I'm not really aware of too many places where we've done work that there hasn't been an issue with sinkholes. Wilton has been notorious for sinkholes in the ditch. We've had a couple of emergency projects. The last one that I can remember was in 2011, where we've had to go and fix in the ditch. So that's kind of why we're focusing on along the highway there. And actually, what we've discovered this year is the section that I'm asking for this additional work to be done in, we've encountered what we call near-surface voids, which means the coal that was mined was down between 80 and 90 feet, and when the drillers drilled into it, they actually hit a void or rubble that was higher up than that. Mm-hmm. So that means that part of the mine has already collapsed and a sinkhole is beginning to form. So it's really crucial to get as much work done in that area as soon as we can, because we don't want those sinkholes opening up and causing a potential hazard in a ditch there.
Good, thank you.
Is there any further discussion?
We just add one thought that big rain events tend to expose these things too, and we've had some big rain events the last while in Bismarck area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. That concludes our agenda, except for the scheduling items. So we'll move into scheduling then, Randy.
Okay. So there was a judgment entered in the Grand Forks Bean case, and our attorney has asked for an executive session meeting and in the next couple weeks, and laid out a number of days when he would be available. I just got this. I didn't ask Alana, are you available on all these, or do you have conflicts for any of them?
No, I'm available.
Okay, so I'll just lay these out. July 29 or August 1, 4, 5, 8, or 9.
I'm available August 4th and 5th anytime, and the 29th depends on what time. I think you guys have the same conflicts I probably have on the 29th.
The 29th in the morning would work, but I guess I'd prefer
What were your August days, you said, Brian?
I'm open anytime, actually, August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We've got those budget meetings scheduled, so I'd be in the office all three of those days.
I'm going to be pretty spotty next week. The 5th would work, and then the 8th and 9th I'll be totally open.
Well, how about the 5th after that in the morning?
Sure. That should work.
I wouldn't care what time.
Mitch's 5th is after 10. That's the only
one. Oh, okay.
So
Morning is fine, but after 10.
How about, should we say 10? 10 on the 5th?
Well,
10:30?
I'd say 10:30 or 11 because he'll come up here and who knows what he's doing till 10.
Okay. Well, let's say 11 then. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say at 10:30 and we'll just expect in case he's a little late, we'll wait.
Okay.
That gives us plenty of time till noon then.
All right.
It takes a while.
That works. Anything else? Was there another one?
And that one's okay with you, right, Brian? 10:30 on August 5th.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay. Alana, you'll set that up? Okay. No, I have nothing else.
All right. Wasn't there one other scheduling thing?
No, my other thing was Brian's authorization to sign.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
Julie, could I just add one comment, Jules?
Sure.
Just, maybe not the appropriate time, but I'm just sorry about your loss. And as soon as you guys pick a funeral date, if you could let us know, we'll make sure we get there.
Yeah, that's picked. It's the 3rd, August 3rd at 11 next
Wednesday.
Okay,
thank you.
Right in the heart of the special legislative session. So, and then there'll be a prayer service Tuesday night at 7 and with viewing from 5 to 7 at Bismarck Funeral Home. So that's the schedule.
You said that
Cathedral, the funeral's at Cathedral. There's lunch after. Yeah, 11 on the 3rd. There will be a Norwegian lunch afterwards. I highly recommend you stay. There will be lefse provided. Unfortunately, not prepared by my mother, so it won't be as good.
Never be quite as good again, will it?
I learned how, but I never mastered her touch with the different potatoes and the different water, and so there was no recipe. And so I always used potato flakes, which just she thought was horrible, but it works fine and it tastes good, and I never really stressed too much about the difference between flakes and real potatoes, so that's what it'll be. Well, some of my sisters might make it with real potatoes, but not me. So, all right. So, all right, everyone. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.